So I'm just going to talk for a little bit about Luther. Remember that we are looking at Series 3, Episode 1, which was first broadcast BBC One, July 2013. One of the first questions that I think you've got to ask of each of the three shows that we're looking at, that's Luther, Top Boy, Reggie Yates, Life and Death in Chicago, is to ask yourself, why does it actually exist in the first place? Why have a media company, in this case BBC One, ploughed so much money into the production of this show? The answer to that, I would say, lies with the proven rating success of the genre. Luther is a pretty conventional police procedural show. That is a show that follows the investigation of crimes. It's a show with a maverick cop at its centre, troubled personal life but genius on the job. And it's a show that is built around essentially, it's a star vehicle for Idris Elba, an actor who was coming to this on the back of his success in HBO's critically acclaimed series The Wire, which, as we know, was big influence on Top Boy. If you can get a good understanding of the genre, that should inform your analysis of representation, and that should inform your analysis of narrative. So to grasp the genre is to grasp pretty much everything there is to grasp about this show. So in this episode, Luther is being asked to investigate two crimes. We've got the crime of the Shoreditch Creeper, this sex fetish killer, this guy who's going back, sort of paying tribute to a killer from the past.
All this stuff with him.
You reckon?
Look, it's a very specific look. The wig, the makeup. It's a bit of a Susie and the Banshees thing going on here.
Who and the what?
80s. Post-punk.
Oh, a doth.
Post-punk. It's definitely not her wig. Do your thing. She's not wearing shoes. You see the shred marks? She was wearing the shoes when she was strangled. So where are the shoes? I've seen something like this before.
Yeah, where?
Photograph. Something.
So he's reenacting an old murder?
Maybe he's a fan. Paying homage.
Trying to finish the job that he started. Then we've got the second case, which is the murder of Jared Cass.
I've been ordered to move you to another case.
What other case?
Jared Cass. Sickness beneficiary. Cyber activist, whatever that might be. Found dead in his flat this morning.
In one sense, highly conventional. These are two crimes, but in both narratives, rather than a whodunit, in the first one, in the Shoreditch Creeper case, we see the killer pretty quickly. We get a will he do it again? In the Jared Cass case, again, it becomes pretty obvious that the murderer was the hand mangler himself. Anyone for a smoothie? Ken Bam. And the question doesn't become a whodunit, but a will Luther actually charge him for doing it? So they both kind of subvert the narrative conventions within of this particular genre. But two cases for Luther to crack. The second case, of course, is also the Jared Cass case, is also the vehicle by which Erin Gray and George Stark will monitor whether Luther is corrupt. This again, the cops investigating cops, is a highly conventional narrative. There have been entire series. There is an entire series, Line of Duty, that is about police investigating the police. So again, pretty conventional stuff. Then, of course, we've got the narratives of Luther's personal life. We have him collide as he's rushing to the scene of the crime. His car crashed into that of Mary Day. That begins this kind of exchange of phone calls. That culminates at the end of the episode when Luther makes her materialise just at the click of her fingers. She wanders through the mist on top of his apartment, having quickly made herself over in about 30 seconds. And we can imagine 30 seconds later, the clothes that she put on have put themselves off again.
The name to my granddad. He chose him.
Why?
For love.
That's gotta be just about the best reason to do anything, doesn't it?
So, is it too late for that drink?
We've got the Erin Grey, of course, nemesis of Luther, who is out to destroy him, aided by George Stark, trying to enlist Justin to their cause. And by the end of this particular episode, another little enigma, Justin has sort of the doubts within his mind have grown so that he, is temporarily sides himself with Erin Grey and George Stark. We've got Luther's boss, Martin Schenck. Often within these police shows, it's a narrative for there to be great conflict between the boss and his maverick charge. Not the case in this series, of course. Martin Schenck, very much a supporter of Luther's, but he is troubled, he's worried by his maverick cop, his surrogate son, if you like. And we see him sort of, rubbing his temples, looking troubled in the car as he's been told that he must send Luther off to investigate the Jared Cass case, which should be a, open and shut case. But because of Luther's great sensitivity, it isn't quite as open and shut as it would first appear. So, highly conventional stuff on the whole. Representation-wise, again, very much representations that are informed by the genre. It's a maverick cop genre, so you're going to expect that the main character is going to be highly masculine in a pretty much conventional way, tough, aggressive, violent, calm under pressure. Luther is all of those things, of course, but he's not just brawn, he is also a brain, he is also a heart, he is highly sensitive. We see that in the way he deals with Ken Barnaby. We see that in his troubled personal life. He is not just a set of muscles. He is a heart and a brain as well. We get some, again, for the genre, pretty conventional representations of femininity. Mary Day is essentially at this point in the series, just a love interest for Luther and therefore highly conventional, not a character that's fully rounded out. Then we've got Erin Grey. Again, she does subvert representations, conventional representations of femininity, but within this genre, it's not unusual to see tough-minded women who are, going about their business. There's, a long tradition of those within police crime dramas. So, there you have it. Narrative-wise, it is full of there's multiple plot strands. We've got the personal life, we've got the crimes to be investigated, we've got lots of mini enigmas, little problems that Luther has to solve, and that he solves through his absolute genius, of course. We see that as he, when he first of all goes to the first crime scene, and he can just, with this amazing photographic memory, just rifle through images in his mind and come up with reference points from decade-old crimes. We've got his ongoing personal life, and we've got the friction that materialises with Justin, but we've got his sensitivity around the Ken Barnaby case as well. Mostly highly conventional. Remember, an understanding of the genre should lead you to an understanding of the show as a whole. Okay? I'll be back anon with some thoughts on Top Boy and some thoughts on Reggie Yates, Life and Death in Chicago. Flame.